Man, it's one of my favorite songs. That's what grace is for. Well, again, it's good to have the house with us tonight. It's like we're at youth camp, isn't it? We get to services last night, this morning, tonight, and then tomorrow, and I've enjoyed it. Brother House, you come on. You got lots of time tonight. You just take as much time as you want.
I'll do that. I'm glad to be back. Now, with all due respect, Pastor, though, you got to come off them 30-cent offerings. That's just not going to get it, you know. As a matter of fact, that's ridiculous. Our leader, follow me. So I figured it up. It come to $9.30 tonight, you know. Ain't going to get it. I know what it is. That's the reason I'm having this discourse, all right? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you took Saturday night and showed up right exactly where you ought to be tonight. John chapter 14. There are some words in our Christian vocabulary that probably ought not be there. You know, that we could do without anyway. One of them is the word secret. One of them is the word key. You know, the secret to the overcoming life and the key to the victorious Christian life. And truth of the matter, there ain't no secret and there ain't no key. You know, it sells books and tapes, but it's not a secret and it's not a key. And with that in mind, I want to give you the title to the sermon. And it goes something like this. The key to revival is found in the secret of obedience. Got them both in there. Title's longer than the sermon. You hope. But we come to a very interesting truth here in chapter 14. My goodness, how many have started there at verse 1 and found great comfort and great solace for a hurting heart. It's there. And he comes on down and talks about greater works than he's done, shall we do? And then he gives us the little short discourse on prayer. And then we come to verse 15. This is one of those very difficult verses. It's got all those hard words in it. You know, our folks who are not quite for the King James Bible tells us it's so difficult to understand. And I suppose it is. Someone had said 70% of it's one-syllable words. It's difficult. So I'll have to explain this one to you, I'm sure. But let's go at it. Jesus is speaking. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, no way anybody can understand that, would they? Do you get it? If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, we've come to a great truth here in verse 15. It's the answer that a lot of Christians are looking for that they can't find anywhere in the world. We're very close to finding out how to live that victorious Christian life, that overcoming Christian life. And it's in this simple little statement that Jesus made that the song leader amplified when he wrote that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. And so we come here to this wonderful truth. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, the difficulty that the average Christian is having today is that he is disobedient in his life. The problem in our churches today, in the average independent Baptist church, is it's loaded up with disobedient members. The reason so many Christians endure their Christianity rather than enjoy it, there's a disobedience in their life, that little area or that big area, you see. And you're just not going to find victory with disobedience in your life. It's just not going to happen. It can't happen. It won't happen at all. And yet obedience is something you don't hear much about anymore. You should hear a lot of preaching on obedience. But I promise you today, if your preacher spent about 3 Sundays just preaching on obedience, just right out of the Bible, about the 4th Sunday, there'd be a little crowd gathered up at McDonald's somewhere after church, and they say, you know, I'm not sure what's wrong with our preacher, but I think he's become a legalist. Huh? Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. All he's doing is preaching the Bible, but when it gets down to thou shalt and thou shalt not, then we back off of that. We don't like that. But that's still the way the Bible's got it, you know. Obedience, there's so much to be said about it. We just have to be obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, there's not a bit of need to talk about how much you love Jesus if there's disobedience in your life. If you love me, keep my commandments. I sort of like what Martin Luther said. He said, we're not saved by faith and works, but by faith that works. You say, well, I don't care for Martin Luther. Well, let's give James a run at it. Faith without works is dead. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Just, it's there, you know. Someone said, you're not going to preach on that, are you? It's in the Bible. Might as well. Faith without works. Just don't tell me you got faith if you can't show it to me by your works. We've been arguing about that since day one, hadn't we? But we have to be obedient. And that's, you know, it's a strange thing about our, somewhere in all of our DNA, there's something that rebels against anybody telling us what to do. We just don't like it, do we? That's the reason men get married. They'll tell you what to do, but we don't like it. And yet, that's the way it is. And so you come to become a Christian, you get saved, and you're supposed to get a little bit of a change of mind. Now, when I got saved, I still didn't like anybody telling me what to do. I just didn't like it. You know, don't like it today. Spend my life with pastors telling me what to do, but I don't like it. I just do it. But I began to read in the Bible with that hang-up I had about obedience, where Jesus said, we ought to obey God. Ought. We owe it to Him. And I began to read where He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That just wasn't my... See, I had an old nature that stayed with me. I wasn't as fortunate as some of you. I didn't get completely sanctified. I just got saved. And that old nature didn't like that. But see, I might be some dumb, but I wasn't plumb dumb. And I knew if Jesus said I ought to obey, I ought to obey. I knew one of us had a problem, and I knew it wasn't him. And so I wanted to know why. And don't get on my case about it. I don't think God minds us asking a question every once in a while. And He answers it real well. But why should we? I know all the theology, but I mean just down where we understand. Why should we obey God? We owe it to Him? Yep. We ought to? Yep. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yep. But what is the, number one, what is the pure motive for obeying God? Well, you look at your verse. It's right there. If you love me. The only motive, the only pure motive for obeying God is the fact that you love Him. It's not to make points with God. It's not to gain stature with God. It's not for rewards. We serve God. We obey God because we love Him. And there's not a bit of need to tell anybody how much you love Jesus if you don't obey Him. You don't tithe. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't witness. Just stay quiet about it. No need to be in a hypocrite, you see. You say, well, now, preacher, here's the deal. I do love God. But there's just some things I don't do. Well, and could I say somebody just lied? See, I used to give people some wiggle room. You know, I'd have people say, well, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. And so that's the reason I can't do these things that you're talking about. And being the kind, considerate, loving human that I am, I just let it slide. I'd say, well, I'm sure God understands. And I'd leave it. But see, I kept reading my Bible, and I declare Jesus didn't take all the wiggle room away. In case you've got a little bit, watch this verse right here. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. No wiggle room there. I mean, none at all. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments, you got them, haven't you? Laying there in your lap. That won't get it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. No wiggle room. If we love Jesus, see, and it's just plain, you see. Now understand, we're not obedient in order to go to heaven. We're obedient because we're going to heaven. We love the Lord because of that. I think the whole thing is here, as you sit here and think about it, and you say, well, I know there's some little things, some little disobedience in my life, but I really do love Jesus. I think I understand what you're saying. And I think the problem is with that word love. See, it means different things to different people. You are aware of that. When somebody says, I love you, that can mean 1,000 different things. Matter of fact, I'm very leery of the fellow that gets up before a crowd he's never seen in his life and says, I just want you to know how much I love you. Lord, I don't love y'all. I don't hardly know you. Is that the truth? Sure. Sure, that's the truth. And see, until I met the woman that I spent 54 years of my life with, who's in heaven now, until I met her, I had never heard anybody say to me, I love you. If my daddy reached out to you, you didn't do this, you did this. You know, he's fixing to lay one on you. He didn't say, I love you. My mama didn't say, I love you. You say you think they love you? I think they did in their way. I sure do. But they're raising me just like they were raised. And we didn't use the four-letter word. We didn't use love. And so, you know, I watch these preachers today. They hug another man and say, I love you. And cold chills run up and down my back. I ain't hugging no man. And I ain't telling no man I love him. And I do know that's my problem. But I ain't going to do it. I'm working on it. But see, if I ever tell you I love you, you ought to write it in the fly leaf of your Bible and say, that was a biggie. Because you just got a biggie. Because when I tell you I love you, it means something. You understand? Now, people who tell you I love you, they mean that. But see, love to them is a whole different thing from what it is to me. In their way, they mean they love you. They appreciate you. They're glad you're saved and that kind of thing. I understand that. But that's not what love means to me. And so the question is, when Jesus said, if you love me, what was he saying? What did he mean? And the only way I know to answer that is ask Jesus. And so one of these Pharisees came to him one day and he said, Lord, what's the great commandment? You remember that? He'd been doing a pretty good job teaching and they bragged on him. And then he said, what's the great commandment? And Jesus thought it needed answering. And he just said simply, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. Now when Jesus says, if you love me, that's what he's talking about. And there's no need of us saying we have a Bible love for God if we don't love him that way. And when you love someone with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, you are going to do what they say. And we just need to understand. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure I understand what that heart and soul and mind and strength really mean. Well, for just a minute, let me tell you. Number one, it talks about the reality of our love. The reality of our love with all your heart. See, once you get your heart into it, you're done for. Have you ever heard us when we get goofy about this love thing? I love you with what? All my heart. That means your goose is cooked. You are done for. You're putting yourself, you are forever changing your life once you start that kind of talk. That's what Jesus was talking about. All your heart. You see, we like to sing about it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Love, love, love. Love you, Jesus. Huh? It doesn't mean a thing. You say, well, I think it means something. No. Jesus caught a crowd like that one time and said, oh, yes, you honor me with your lips. I love you. I love you. I love you. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You know what he's saying? You don't love me. You just talk religious. You just yap. That's all it is. See, that's the reality of our love. We're saying, I'll be true to you to death and don't show up on Sunday night. Just talking with all your heart. Once you love them with all your heart, you're going to hang around with them all you can. Sure. Second thing it talks about, not only your heart, but your soul. See, that's the responsiveness of our love. That's where you get everything into it. Our self given over, no private part withheld. I heard about that group that was looking for an evangelist. And they did a horrible thing. They selected a committee to choose the evangelist. And they got in a fight and stayed in a fight for weeks. They couldn't find. Every time they'd try to get a name, they'd get enough names and somebody's name would come up and they'd get in a fight about it. And every time they met, the name Dwight L. Moody would come up. And there was one fellow there who just hated Dwight L. Moody. Just couldn't stand the thought of him. And they'd fuss and fight. Finally, the little crowd put the pressure on him, said, you got to meet, you got to get it settled. We want to have a meeting, we want an evangelist. So the little committee met again, and they began to submit names, and sure enough, here it came, Dwight L. Moody. Well, the fellow that just hated him just blew up, just got beside himself, jumped to his feet, started screaming, and said, Dwight L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody, all I ever hear is Dwight L. Moody. Do you men think Dwight L. Moody has a monopoly on God? And there happened to be a Christian on the committee. And he stood up very politely and very kindly and said, sir, I don't think there's anybody here that thinks Dwight L. Moody's got a monopoly on God. But said, we sure believe God's got a monopoly on Dwight L. Moody. You know what this good church needs? Would you listen? Just a handful over here and a handful over here that God's got a monopoly on. That's what it is. With all your soul. Love him with all your heart and with all your soul. But then notice this. It's the most interesting thing. It says with your mind. See, that's the reasonableness of our love. You just will not come to me and say, well, it's not reasonable that we love God like that. He said, yeah, you can put your whole mind into it. It's very reasonable. Come now, let us reason together. You don't have to be stupid to be a Bible believer. Don't have to check your name at the back door to believe, but to be a Bible believer. It is very, very... See, everything I believe is reasonable. It just goes beyond reason. Sometimes. Most of the time, you see. But with your mind, see, you can have a full heart. You ought to. You can have a full soul. You ought to. But you ought not have an empty head. You ought to get it full, too. And put your mind into it. And then notice, fourthly, the resourcefulness of our love. With all of your strength. You know what that means. I'm to love him with all my physical strength and all my emotional strength and all my financial strength. I'm just to love him with everything that I am, all of my ability, strength. I don't need to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," if I'm not going to obey Him. And if I love Him the way the Bible says. Now, let's don't get in a fight about it. Just stay quiet about it. If you don't love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You don't love Him the way the commandment reads, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," with all of it, put it all together. And you know, I read that, and I wonder sometimes, why didn't God just make us where we couldn't help but love Him that way? Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't even have to vote on it. Wouldn't have to get up every morning and decide whether you're going to behave or not. Wouldn't have to do like some did tonight, struggle about whether they're going to church or watch their favorite TV program. You just couldn't help but do what God wanted. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But somehow, that doesn't seem to be the way God wanted it. Some of you older folks, you more mature saints, you old coots, you can remember, if you'll work at it, when the pet rock craze crossed America, probably in the 60s, mid, late 60s, everybody was buying a pet rock. You go in the house to witness somebody, they got that rock sitting on the coffee table, a little face paint, or got it named. And you ask them about it, say, "That's my pet." Stupid. Pet rock. Everybody, they're paying for them, buying them. Pet rocks. You remember how quickly that passed away? You know why? Didn't take them long to realize they couldn't get a response out of their pet. And not anybody going to love anything that won't respond to them. And God wants us to respond. We're not puppets on a string. He's not going to make us do it. He wants us to love Him to the place that we will respond and obey Him. With all of our soul and all of our strength, you know, that's the resourcefulness of it. And if He doesn't get a response out of us, then the love is in doubt. Well, that's the motive for love, for obeying Him. We love Him. But now I want you to note in these next few moments. See, I know what goes on because I are a Baptist and I are human. And so we say, well, you know, I do love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. I do. And I do want to obey Him. The problem is, I'm just too weak. I am too weak to obey God, to love God and obey God that way. I'm too weak to live that kind of a Christian life. And I know you're right. We all are. See, the Christian life's not hard. It's impossible. Only one ever lived it. Only one. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father tonight. So what? No, He tells us to love Him this way. And the honest, candid truth is, we can't do that. Well, we can love Him that way, but we can't obey Him. You know, it just gets beyond our ability. It just gets impossible. So that brings me to this thought. The resource of our obedience. If He said, "Obey me," then the biblical truth is, there's some way that we can do it. If He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," I commit to you on the authority of the Word of God, there has to be a way we can do it. And yet we are totally limited by the flesh, by our inabilities. Why? You read the Bible and you find out very quickly, we don't even know how to pray. We're invalids. Yeah. But there's an interesting thing takes place here, you know, when you get to thinking about what's really going on. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then there's a tremendous transaction going to take place. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. A couple of years ago, I was down in South Louisiana in a meeting. Just out of Leesville, Louisiana, a little old church called... See, at Leesville, Louisiana, there's the big army base, Fort Pope, P-O-P-E. Some of you veterans that were there have other names for it, but that's what you're supposed to call it, Fort Pope. And so this is Fort Hope Baptist Church. And it's about the size of maybe just this one section right here. And I preach there every year for a while. And it's a singing church I've ever been around. It's not a singing church. It's a singing church. And everybody sings. And I like it. You know, I mean, I don't care. They'll sing. I'm talking, the preacher sings. The preacher's family sings. All of his brothers and sisters sing. His uncle, his nephew sing. All of his cousins sing. Every church member sings. The janitor sings. Everybody sings. And they all do specials every service. Every service. And, you know, I sit there and enjoy till my enjoyer just wears out. You know? And I don't really care how long the preliminaries are. See, one of my mentors years ago said, don't ever let the preliminaries be longer than the preaching. And so I just kind of keep up with it so I can be sure and preach longer than they sung. And so I was running on about an hour and 15 minutes one night, and I was getting tired. And I hadn't started preaching yet. And they were still singing. And I love the singing. I really do. It's my kind of singing, really. You know, it's just old four-part harmony and Stamps Baxter stuff. I'm sorry, but I just enjoy it. And the preacher got up. He got up to introduce me. And he saw his older sister out there. And he said, sister, get your bunch and come up here and sing. And I just went, phew. You know how it is. Yeah. Huh. And there was a spirit that settled in on me that wasn't best. And I had, at that time in my life, I had my plate full. I had more than I thought I could handle going on in all different areas of my life. And I just sat there and I said, man, this is just ridiculous. You know, just ridiculous. And they got up there. And the older sister, oh, I guess she's close to 80. And they had, honestly, had five generations of boom, 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 boom. And I thought, this is going to be pitiful, you know. And they stood there and talked to one another. Now, I'm sitting there waiting to preach. They stand here talking to one another like they hadn't seen each other in 6 months, you know. And they've been sitting out there all this time. Just chatting, you know. Everybody's sitting there waiting. And I'm sitting there. And my spirit's not getting better. And I know it. See, I mean, I know it. Preacher knows it when he's off key. You know, we know it. We're not stupid. We know it. And I'm not enjoying that at all. I'm not enjoying the way I'm doing. And I'm not enjoying what they're doing. And I'm supposed to be the one that's preaching. And anyway, they finally decided they're going to sing something. And they started singing. It was an old song. I hadn't heard it in years and years and years. And I still don't know the words. But I can give you most of what I want to give you. As I remember it, the title of the song is I'll Talk to My Father for You. And they started singing this on that family harmony. It was just beautiful. And I sat there and I listened a little bit of it. And you know, they got past that introduction. And they got down there to where they said, I'll talk to my father for you. And if I know my father, here's what he'll do. And then they came to that phrase that said, it's no bother for my father. Just broke my heart. See, I'm sitting there all full of myself because I got all these problems. All this stuff I can't deal with real well. And they're telling me, there are people that will talk to the Father for me. He'll take care of it. It's no bother for my Father. Somebody said, is there a point to all this? Yep. Yeah, there is. See, I don't want to speak down to you. I don't mean to. But it's not by coincidence that verse 16 follows verse 15. Would you look at verse 15 very carefully? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Watch now. And I'll pray the Father. Are you getting it? You get in your inability to obey me. You just go ahead and get started. I'll talk to the Father for you. Watch now. And it's no bother to my Father. Watch. He shall give you a helper. An enabler. Am I all right with that? An enabler, an equipper, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, of course you can't do it. So just get started, and I'll talk to the Father, and he'll enable you. Oh, yeah, you can obey him, too. Yes, you can obey him, but you've got to have the... What is our resource? The dear Holy Spirit of God. Promised by Jesus. He said, I'll talk to the Father for you. I don't know what you got on your plate tonight. I don't know what your inabilities or your abilities might be. I only know this. If you decide, I won't. I do love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my... Then I do know if you'll just start out to obey Him, Jesus will start talking to the Father for you. And the Father will respond. He will send you an enabler. He said He would. He cannot lie. He don't know nothing but good. And He'll do good, you know. And there's the answer right there. You see, I'll not leave you accomplished. I will come to you. So He's saying, if the task is too great, just relax and I'll send you a strengthener. See, so many of us miss the obedient Christian life because we try to do it. And we can't get it done. We've tried. A hundred times we've rededicated the same old flesh over and over and over. And it's still the same old flesh. And what we need to do is confess our inabilities and just tell the Father, now I'm going to obey you. And I got to have a helper. And Jesus will get started on it right. See, a lot of folks today, they think the answer is in knowing stuff. And so they spend all the time in the library with the Bible on their lap and backslide. Knowing more and more and doing less and less, you see. Some folks are pretty sure that it's feeling more stuff. And so they torque up the services. Get a little beat going. A little tapping wouldn't hurt nothing, you know. And it wouldn't hurt nothing to get somebody speaking in tongues, some woman interpreting, you know. Just have a grand old service. Just get torqued up emotionally and get to feeling a lot of stuff and a lot of crying and a lot of laughing going on. Wow, what a service. See, and when the service is over and everybody's walking out the door saying, man, what a glorious service we had. Didn't God come down tonight? Listen. The only thing they've got to face the devil with tomorrow is the memory of an emotion they had last night. It's not in feeling more stuff. It's not in knowing more stuff. Now, we Baptists think it's in doing more stuff. We think busy Christians are happy Christians. You know, and so we are busy, work, go, and do better and try harder. And all the time we're failing and frustrated and guilty because we're not getting it done. And we know it. It's not in doing more stuff. And then there's a lot of us Baptists, we're pretty sure that the real answer is in quitting more stuff. You hear it preached every Sunday. You know. Someone said, don't you think there's a lot of stuff you ought to quit? Well, yeah, but if you start doing what you ought to do, you wouldn't have time for that other stuff. It'll just take care of itself, you know. I will say this, if it dishonors the Lord, quit it. If it hinders your spirituality, quit it. If it stops you from being what God ought to be, or if it's contrary to the Word of God, stop it. But you can quit everything there is and just be like a tinkling brass, a whited sepulcher. That's not the answer. The answer is obedience. And obedience can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And He's looking for somebody tonight. You believe that? His eyes going to and fro across the country, looking for some man, some woman, who will just say, I'll obey you. I'll trust you to enable me. And I'll do what you have me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. You know, he does have a way for us. Don't you believe that? And the Holy Spirit says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He will show you the way. He will enable you to. So here's the question we're through. Here's the question. Here's the invitation. Please get it. Number one, do you love Jesus, the Bible way, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now wait, before you say, I do, understand this second part. It's impossible to say that if you're disobedient in any area to the Lord. Anything that God has revealed to you that is disobedience, anything that's counter to the Word of God in your life, no need of saying that you love Him that way. Second thing is this. Do you realize that disobedience to the Lord, biblically, is classified just like witchcraft, rebellion? I don't have the time tonight. You read it. Get Samuel and check him out. when you sent Saul down there to take care of that bunch the Lord got ticked off at. And see what it says. And so with that in mind, here it is. Are you willing right now, tonight, to stop playing the hypocrite? Just give up the hypocrite's role and be as obedient as you can until you get more light, and continue in obedience and let the Lord take up your case with the Father for you. He'll do that tonight. You say, well, I've tried 1,000 times to quit this and to quit that and to start this and start that, and I always fail. And you always will until you trust God to enable you to do it. Just need to settle it, get it nailed down. You know, obedience is a step-by-step thing. Number one comes salvation. That's that first step of obedience. I mean, you get saved before you can go any further. Baptism, yep. That's the first command after salvation. And then service, that thing of, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty simple. Question is, do you love him? If so, then why this disobedience? Why this putting self first when he demands preeminence? Why thinking that our stuff's more important than his stuff? Let's let him have his way. You bow your head, please. We get ready for invitation hymn. The only real question is, are you obedient? Witnessing, reading your Bible, praying, going where he'd have you to go, doing what he'd have you to do, saying what he'd have you to say, being what he'd have you to be, and giving what he'd have you to give. Are you obedient in that? Just, are you obedient? That's the only thing. You needn't bring any deep theology into it. The secret to revival, or the key to revival, is found in the secret of obedience. Just simply obeying God. Tonight, God's speaking to someone's heart. Unless you have a change of mind about it real quick, you're not going to obey Him. And you ought to just let go and let God have His way tonight. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, we'll stand. Our song leader began to sing. And the question still rings out, do you love Him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. We struggle so much in the flesh to try to please you, and yet it's so impossible. The flesh profiteth nothing. So tonight we claim your promise. We look forward to your intercession for us, and help each one here who struggled and struggled and struggled to settle it tonight, to choose to obey you in all their inabilities, and look forward to the Father sending the Enabler, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to direct and enable us. In Jesus' name, amen.